Welcome to episode 6 of the Kindness Objective podcast. I'm the founder of TKO. My name is Melissa Marquet, and we're a nonprofit that is combating bullying and cruelty in our schools, our workplaces, and our communities. And joining me is Eric Maurices. He is a senior software engineer and a computer science tutor, and he's had a lot of success, but it didn't come without trials and tribulations, even including a time where an entire social media page was created to make fun of him. So Eric, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate you joining.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It was great meeting you. We connected on LinkedIn and I appreciated your message and what you're talking about on other posts. So I'm glad to be on the show today.
Well, it is very much appreciated. And like you said, being able to come on and be open and to be honest and transparent and vulnerable, it's difficult. Right? But that's how we inspire and motivate and ignite change. So you coming on here, I know that that's not an easy thing to do, but it is certainly appreciated. We talked about the things that you went through in school and even in college and at work. I'd like to start in the earlier years of your formal education. And I would love to talk about that social media page that was created with the intention of literally making fun of you. That's awful.
Yeah. Well, so it's interesting because we know a lot more nowadays in, you know, the 2020s. There's a lot more conventions and well-known rules about social media that may not have been as well-known when I was young. So basically in high school was when Facebook was essentially just starting and was just recently released to people beyond just college students. So it's sort of the Wild West in a way. And I just wanted to preface with that because I don't necessarily think that people who did what they did maybe thought that it was as bad as currently people in the 2020s understand it to be. But yeah. I did want to talk about the experience just to share it. And, you know, hopefully people won't do anything like this now or in the future. So yeah, so essentially back when I was in high school, I discovered that several people of my, what I call my primary friend group in high school, they created a Facebook group devoted specifically, you know, various ways of like making fun of me. So like things that I said to people, some mannerisms that I had, like, you know, like physically. And then there are, you know, some photos taken of me that I didn't know about during the school day and when hanging out. So, you know, that was tough. But and then also early in Facebook days, maybe now not so much, but the posts were a big thing, like wall posts and photo posts. So in that group, I discovered there were posts that were specifically mentioning like something that I said that maybe like other people thought was dumb and like making fun of me for saying that. And you know, or would talk about how they perceive something that I said to someone else. And it was particularly focused with, you know, in high school and stuff, you may have a crush on somebody and like maybe say something embarrassing and, you know, people took that and, you know, ran with it. So essentially what I refer to it as is it's a diary of things that I would not want to give to an employer. So I now refer to it as. So, you know, that was, it was tough to find out that they were doing that. I mean, I think at the time they explained it as, you know, they were just having some good fun, you know, but none of the other people there had groups about them. So it was challenging. And as a teenager who was still developing and, you know, still getting my identity in place, I was not a naturally confident person by any means. I think a lot of us believe that confidence is something that you naturally develop as you go through life and you get older. And that does happen sometimes, but I also think, you know, for people like me, it did not come naturally. It didn't just happen. I had to work for years to do research and trial and error to figure out how to be a confident person. And for a lot of my childhood, basically up through probably like halfway through college, I wasn't confident. I let people sort of take advantage of, you know, the kinder aspects of my personality. And, you know, I was also like physically weaker than I am now. And it made things challenging. It made me an easy target for some, you know, mental and emotional bullying, so to speak.
You know, one of the things that you and I talked about, and I have to thank you for this because you've actually inspired and added another layer to the kindness objective and what we're doing. And it came from you. It came from what you said about confidence building, things that you did when you were younger to build that confidence. And I thought, we're doing all of these amazing workshops for kids to cultivate empathy and to be able to try and understand what it would be like to walk a day in someone else's shoes. But we hadn't really thought about the self-confidence aspect of workshops. And we're actually building that out right now. And that was because of you. So thank you for that, because you're spot on. And what you said is so true. And I was talking to my brother last night about TKO and chewing his ear off because I'm all excited about what we're doing. And one of the things that we realized just to, you know, when you brainstorm and you talk to each other, was that these workshops that we're doing, the kids can complete a workshop and then the mayor signs a certificate of completion for them and we send it to the local paper. And so the workshop is created with the intention of giving them the understanding and the empathy to be kind, but it's also a confidence booster to be able to say, I completed this and I shook hands with our mayor and I wound up in the paper. And so most of the time, the bullies, and I don't know if this is true for the kids that were bullying you, but most of the time they have an air of confidence, but they're actually not confident, because confident people don't have a need to hurt people that are in their path. So they put out this air of confidence, but in reality, they're actually very insecure.
Yeah. And so to that point, actually, I'm glad you brought that up, because I did want to mention, when I was in high school, I wasn't part of a friend group that was sort of, you know, universally taunted. And unfortunately, like, there are some kinds of friend groups who are just like mercilessly bullied. Like, there are some people who might, you know, dress a certain way who would just be the butt of every joke. I was not part of that. But I think the people I hung around the most, they're kind of, you know, in that area where, you know, they had enough social skills to be friends with each other, but they couldn't necessarily get the courage to maybe talk to the kinds of people that that they wanted to. And, you know, that was probably part of the reason that I hung out with them in the first place. But like you said, that leads to a situation where, you know, maybe to gain that confidence gap that they don't have, instead they need to find someone to, you know, put down. And in a lot of cases, that was me. I do think that was part of the situation. And looking back now, you know, it is a while ago, and I know, you know, they didn't mean anything bad by it, but it did hurt at the time.
I would also love to know, I know, like you said, these were your friends, which makes it hurt even more, because these are people that you're trusting, that they care about you and that they have your back. And if someone else were doing that, these are the people that you would count on to make sure that that was not happening anymore. And so the people that you should have been able to count on were the ones that were actually hurting you, which had to add another layer to the amount of pain that you felt.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll say, over, you know, over my life, the number one biggest thing that has built my confidence is, you know, building up my physical strength. So I started seriously going to the gym probably early on in college. And I mean, you could see me, I'm not, you know, a bodybuilder, but going to the gym, you know, it improved my posture and improved, you know, it made me realize I could do certain things physically that I couldn't do before. And, you know, I think anybody who has gone fairly often knows that it can give you energy and it can, you know, kind of inspire you for the day. And I think definitely going multiple times a week is something that's very important to my life. Everybody who knows me knows this and respects that. And yeah. And I'm really glad that that's one of many things that has helped build my confidence. And I think the other thing, when I was thinking about this topic over the last few days, something that really helps is, so like some people who are listening to this, I used to be a huge people pleaser. And of course, you know, I don't want to upset people when I want to avoid it. But one thing I think about now is, if I'm pleasing someone else, am I still please myself?
Amen to that.
Yeah. So I want to please someone as long as it doesn't make me upset. And I think that has been a good barometer to, you know, being kind and respectful, but having my own boundaries and making sure I stick to what I believe in. And I think, you know, that has worked for me, you know, ever since I believe I have improved my, you know, I'm not perfect, but I've improved my confidence significantly over the last 10 years.
That's great insight. And I agree with you completely about the gym. I used to go to the gym like a gym rat. I would go do cardio in the day and I'd go back at night and do weight training. This is before I had a child. So, you know, I don't have the ability to do that now. I'm at the baseball field and I wouldn't change it for anything in the world. But I did tear my ACL like a year ago and I haven't been able to go to the gym at all. And oh my gosh, I feel it every day and I miss it. So I do remember though, the days that you go to the gym, you walk out, you stand up straighter, like you're saying, you just feel better. Your health is better. It clears your mind. It's an amazing way to boost your confidence. And I think that it's great that you found something that gives you that.
Yeah. Another thing I want to talk about is, you know, a lot of people listening, and I wondered this myself when thinking through my past, was while bullying's never justified, I did think to myself, you know, what made me a target? Like, why was I the one in that friend group to be the butt of the jokes and to be, you know, to have this happen to me? And, you know, none of what I say is trying to blame myself for my past, but I think, you know, I want to reflect on maybe some things I thought that maybe led to me being a target, so that, you know, maybe parents who are listening to this think, you know, how can I help, you know, how can I help my child grow so maybe they're less likely to be a target? You know, you can never prevent it, but when I was younger, I grew up in a community where I was very sheltered, very wealthy. So my childhood, I think, and to not really a fault of my own, but I think I was judgmental of a lot of different things. Like I judged people who would say prioritize sports over schoolwork. I was very academically inclined and I enjoyed studying. And I also judged people who would be involved in sort of drugs or things that, you know, maybe were against the law. And I think, you know, I don't think I ever said any of these things to people, but I think maybe my judgmental attitude came across and maybe people saw me as being different and not as relatable to others. And again, I was young, you know, I wasn't a perfect person, but I think that could have been one thing that made it more likely that I was a target. And again, you know, the focus on academics, that's not what everybody's focused on. So it was just an interesting reflection. It doesn't mean it was right about what happened. Yeah. But I try to empathize that, you know, maybe this is why people gravitated towards a certain action.
I feel like when it comes to kids, that they will find anything that they can if they want to, right, to pick on somebody for. And I think one of the things that you're bringing up is really important too. I applaud you for even being able to come on here and say, I might not have ever made fun of someone, but I was judgmental about this person or that type of individual. And it does raise the point that being able to understand our differences and not see them as less than, just to be able to look at them as just differences. We're different and that's okay. And so I think that also comes into play when it comes to cultivating and fostering different environments where people are less judgmental. And that's one of the reasons why we want to be able to give these kids an opportunity to understand what it's like to be in someone else's shoes for a day. And even if they don't fully understand it, but just to give them a glimpse of what does someone else's daily life look like? And what does someone else's daily life feel like? It's important because it does eliminate the judgment to a certain extent. I mean, you're never going to alleviate that completely, but you can improve it.
Right. And I think, you know, something later in my life, I mean, I've always enjoyed volunteering. I think it's a great thing to do. You're helping people out. There's no pay attached to it. And you're forming genuine bonds with people. And a lot of places that I volunteered at, there, you know, were people who are in a lot different circumstances than I was, and it helped me relate to them. And I think that's made a difference in my life of, you know, empathizing with people and, you know, not just like calling a whole society lazy or something like that. So I definitely suggest volunteering if people haven't tried that yet. Yeah, so while we were talking about high school, I just wanted to mention something interesting too that kind of made a difference in my high school experience. So I was always sort of the older person in my grade. Mm-hmm. So I was like above the cutoff or whatnot. So what that meant was that I was one of the first people in my grade to get a driver's license.
Me too.
Yeah. So what that meant was, almost all my friends, and then even some people grade below me, you know, they would ask me to drive them places, and that's okay. But sometimes it got to a point where there would be people who would try to hang out with me because I drive them places, not because they genuinely enjoyed my company. So there, yeah. So there was one situation where, you know, at the time I kind of had a crush on somebody, and I was hanging out with them as a friend, and they knew that I had a crush on them. You know, it wasn't hidden from them. They would ask me to drive them. So I live in Massachusetts. So Dunkin' Donuts is a huge thing. So,
oh gosh, yes.
So this person would always ask me to drive them to Dunkin' Donuts, and you know, more times than not, I was happy to go there, you know, get my bagel or donut or whatever it was. And this would happen, you know, over a series of months. And then, you know, again, there was a point where, you know, I knew that I wanted this to be something beyond friendship. And then, you know, one day I said, you know, I like you, and, you know, I want to, you know, see if you would like go out with me or whatever. And this person basically laughed in my face and tried to, you know, redirect it back to, can we keep driving to Dunkin' Donuts? And you know, I was very hurt by that.
Yeah.
One of my early crushes, and yeah, it was tough.
That is a very good point about making sure that people want to be around you for the right reasons, because they enjoy your company. And I'll give you an example. I used to sing for a living. That was in my background, and I loved it. It was like, I was in love with music the way people are in love with each other. And it was my whole life. And when people would see me, they wouldn't say like, hey, Melissa, how are you? They'd be like, hey, how's the music going? It was not, I didn't even have an identity outside of it anymore. And I remember going through a really hard time because I was recovering from anorexia. I had a really bad eating disorder. I was 28, and the clothes in the Children's Gap were falling off of me. And I was proud of that, which looking back on that is insanity. But I remember going through that, and all the people that wanted to be around me when I was out singing and doing all this fun stuff were nowhere to be found at all. And I remember one friend saying like, well, aren't you better now? Like, can we go out? Are you going to sing? I was like, okay, I've been doing this for 3 days. Like, no, I'm not better. What do you mean? And it was so hurtful because it made me realize that these people weren't around me because they wanted to be around me. Right? They were around me because they enjoyed a lifestyle. It was eye-opening. It was like all the people that I thought loved me all these years, they really didn't love me. They didn't even know me. So I get that. And it's important that you know the people that are around you because of you.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry that happened to you. I mean, that sounds like a difficult experience. You know, I've never had experience with an eating disorder, but that must be very difficult. And I empathize with that. But yeah, I mean, to a similar point, so another thing, so beyond the driving, that, you know, when I was, so I, like I said, I had grown up in a wealthy community. My family happened to be very well off. And I think another part of that too was, you know, some of these friends would be more inclined to go to my house because we had like all the food there and the video games. And of course, you know, it's fun to do that stuff. But what I started to figure out there was a problem was there would be times where if there was some get together that wasn't at anybody's house, you know, sometimes they would include me, sometimes they wouldn't. So, you know, that kind of clued me in that, you know, sometimes they wanted to do it just because, you know, I had the nice house. Yeah, that was, you know, a lot of high school. I mean, a lot of high school was great too. I think that, you know, I did go through all this. I mean, it's not, there have been people who have gone through worse, of course. But you know, something that people might be curious about is, why didn't I like go to a dark place with this? Like, why didn't I go and say, you know, this is it for me, I'm done. You know, my friends are making fun of me, and you know, why don't I just throw in the towel? And I think for me, I tended to focus on the academics, and I, you know, did have sort of a promising, you know, academic career. You know, I was always very inclined in math and the sciences, and you know, I definitely saw a bright future for myself and trying to, you know, study for tests and see what college I could get into. And I very much looked forward to that. So, you know, so while the experiences that I was going through were challenging, I tried, and I think successfully, to keep my focus on the future. And I knew that I could have a future if I put my mind to it. So fortunately I didn't go to that dark place. I think, you know, I think one thing that's more challenging about being in school nowadays versus when I was in school was, you know, I was sort of in that generation where there was a hybrid of, you know, there were some flip phones, some smartphones.
Yeah.
You know, some people were doing things more in the physical world. Some people were doing things more like on social media. But a lot of, yeah, a lot of nowadays, it seems more, you know, people are like more immersed in the world on their phone.
Actually, in high school, we had beepers.
Oh,
I'm dating myself now. Like, we didn't even have that. We had the beepers, and we thought we were the coolest thing on earth. And I can still tell you, if you text somebody 17-317-017-1, if you beeped somebody that and they turned it upside down, it said, "I love you." So that's how old I am. You're right, though. It was different then with things like Snapchat and Instagram. And it's people are immersed in their phones. They don't even live in the world around them anymore. It's sad.
There was actually one more aspect of my high school experience I wanted to talk about, because I think it applies beyond high school and, you know, throughout life. So I just wanted to share, like, you know, something that also defined my experience was, another thing that happens a lot is sometimes you're treated a certain way because of who else you're around other than your primary friend group. So I was kind of in a situation, I had these primary friends who are probably the most similar to me than anybody else. And then, you know, I would also go to some parties and events like that hosted by this other group of people who are very friendly, but, you know, maybe dressed a certain way that most people didn't understand. But I, mm-hmm, you know, I enjoyed being around them. They're very nice. So yeah, sometimes the primary friend group would judge me if I went to something related to this other group. And like one thing I remember about high school and just even in adulthood to some degree is that there's a lot of complex dynamics to navigate with, you know, who can you be around when this person's around? Like, who can you invite who can you invite to the party when this person goes? And it even got to a point, so I ended up having a COVID era wedding, but when I was planning to get married in 2020 and we were making the guest list, there was a point where we said, oh, like, we can only invite this person, sit them here. And I was saying, no, like, this is our wedding. You know, whoever we want to be there will be there, and
good,
they'll navigate their own social dynamics. Because in high school, that was a huge issue. Like, there would be people with feuds with each other, and you would have to, you know, oh, I can't have this person over. So that also made it, you know, very complex socially. And I think that happens everywhere. I think it happens, you know, in school and even in adulthood, like, you know, planning for weddings, for example.
Yeah. And then that's good for you for not allowing that to ruin your wedding, because everybody I know that's gotten married have like literally gone through the guest list, like, well, we can't sit Aunt so-and-so there with this person because they're not getting along right now. And it's like, figure it out, grow up, right? Like, figure it out, and just, you can get through an afternoon or an evening together and be cordial for the sake of someone's wedding. So I think that's great that you didn't allow that to overtake your wedding guest list. But there was a lot of that in high school for me too, with kids where it was like, if you're friends with this person, well, you can't be friends with that person. It's so silly. It's so stupid. It's like, why? Right. And so,
no, yeah. Yep.
And it happens a lot. Like, if you're friends with the jocks, you shouldn't be friends with the kids that are goth or whatever, right? You have all these little groups of people. And again, it's very frustrating growing up and being around that and trying to navigate that when you really haven't even developed the skills to understand how to navigate the world socially yet. You're still learning. So there's a lot of pressure on you, you know, and it's not easy.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I've talked a lot about, you know, some of the negative experiences that have happened. But another thing I want to talk about that I've thought about a lot is that there were a lot of people, even in the periods of my life where I didn't have as much social skills, there are a lot of very kind people with great hearts. A lot of people say in high school who I wish I spent more time with. But honestly, like, what I was thinking during that time was, I almost felt like if someone was being nice, it was like a movie that I was watching that wasn't actually directed at me. Like, I thought they were just like being kind, but not towards me, or that they pitied me, or that they're like exaggerating. Like, I almost couldn't accept that they're actually being nice. at the time, because I thought, you know, these other people aren't being nice, so how could someone actually be nice? But I do commend those people that during that time, you know, really tried to make me feel great and, you know, raise my self-esteem, and that played a key part in my life, and I'm forever grateful. And I think some of those people know that I'm grateful for that, and I'm actually reconnected with some people after high school who, you know, I very much respected, and I think they appreciated that. So I wanted to, you know, say it wasn't all downsides. You know, I think most people have good hearts and, you know, want the best for the people around them, and I try to see the positive in that too.
I love that, and I'm really glad that you've reconnected with them after high school and that they know the impact that they had on your life. My grandfather used to say this: people always voice things when they're upset about something, but very rarely do they voice their gratitude for something. And so being able to relay that to those people and say, hey, you really made a positive impact in my life and helped me feel good about myself during a time that was really hard, I'm sure that they were really happy to hear that. I'm sure it meant a lot to them.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. And I think too, so I'm really glad that I spent the time I did, you know, building my confidence, because later in my adult life, I started to sort of like take more positive life risks. Like I started a tutoring business, and which, you know, involves a lot of, you know, one-on-one talking with people and, you know, trying to get people to sort of, you know, resonate with you and your style of teaching. And I think I would have been really nervous to do that if I hadn't, you know, built my confidence and, you know, had belief in myself. And also, you know, things like this, like not everybody I know would go onto a podcast and talk. Yeah. You know, I mean, I enjoy doing it. I think it's important to learn about people's experiences. But I don't think I would have done that, you know, back then. I think I would have thought, oh, who wants to listen to what I have to say? If you ever get invited to a podcast and you think that you don't have anything to say, your experience is unique and it deserves to be heard, and you should take that. So
absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm so glad that you're doing this, because you do have a lot to bring to the table and your experiences really do matter and will resonate with a lot of people that are now in high school and are going through things that are similar to what you went through. And I think one of the things you said that's interesting is when people were being nice to you, you kind of felt like, are they being nice to me out of pity, or like, what is this? And again, that stems from not having the self-confidence at that time, probably, to realize that you deserved for people to be nice to you. We all deserve people to be kind to us. And so I would imagine that as you got older and your confidence grew, that you didn't feel like that anymore when people were being kind.
Yeah. And, you know, don't get me wrong. My entire life, I think it's great when somebody's nice. I mean, you know, I love a good compliment. I remember in high school like this. So one of the people who I actually ended up reconnecting with later, just one random day, like I had gotten a haircut a couple of days prior, like nobody said anything. And then this person was just like, you know, that's a very nice haircut. And, you know, it was such a small comment, but at the time I was like, wow, like that person noticed, and that's amazing. And, you know, I said, thank you so much. That was amazing. You know, such little things like that can make such a big difference. Especially now when, you know, a lot of people feel lonely and unheard, and even the smallest kindness can make such a big difference.
That is an absolutely powerful statement because of how true it actually is. The littlest things can mean so much. Even just smiling at a stranger in the store or holding the door for somebody, you know, somebody might be just having a day where they just completely feel where they've lost their faith in humanity. You don't know what's going on in their life, but you open the door for them at the store or something simple like that, and you smile, and all of a sudden it lifts your energy and it lifts their energy, and it's contagious. And then they pass that on to someone else who might be having a hard day, and that person feels uplifted, and so on and so on. It's very much of a domino effect in that way. And it doesn't have to be this big, tremendous thing. It doesn't have to be like, I bought somebody a house. It could be, I held the door. I paid for somebody's coffee in line behind me. It doesn't have to be a huge thing to mean a lot.
Yeah. I mean, so one thing I was curious, you know, so you started this organization, and have there been ways that other people have said their confidence has been built that's worked for them? I mean, you know, my way has worked for me, I think it'd be very interesting to see, what may have worked for others too, because, not everybody's like me, believe it or not.
No, I get that. And there have been other people that have said sports has helped them to build their confidence. So similarly to going to the gym, just doing something physical has built their confidence. I can speak for myself personally that one of the things that boosted my confidence was singing. I loved it. And piano, I love to play the piano. And I remember when I was going through that whole time with the anorexia, I bought this piano and I was 28 and I didn't know how to play and I can't read music. And my friends were like, that's an interesting decision, right? Like, why would you buy a piano? I decided I want to play. And I got this piano and I sat down and I played it like I'd been playing my whole life. It was bizarre. I have no explanation for it, but I remember looking at my hands and thinking, my body just did that. And I had a new respect for my body that I didn't, or appreciation, I should say, for my body that I didn't have before. Whereas before it was like, I just looked at myself and saw every single flaw constantly. Every time I looked in the mirror, I showered in the dark so I couldn't see myself and my confidence was not there. But being able to do something that made something sound so beautiful that came from my hands was incredibly confidence building for me. So I think for everybody, it's different. And I think once you find what it is that gives you that confidence and you love, you just have to keep doing it. And make sure that you're doing what you're passionate about, because those are the things I think that are going to give you that confidence.
Yeah. And there's no magic formula. I mean, you see a lot of, implement this framework, implement that, and it may or may not work for you, but I think, it's more nuanced. You should need to explore what works for you, try different strategies that maybe have worked for others and see what resonates. Some people may not like the gym either. I mean, for me, it was great, but so it's, it's a journey. Life is a journey.
There was one other thing I did want to ask you about, and that was when you first started your career. I remember you and I were chatting and you explained to me that there was an incident where somebody tried to humiliate you in front of a group of people. And I would love for you to talk about that.
Yeah, sure. So, like I said, life's a journey. I had started developing my confidence. It still wasn't as much as it is now. But there was a situation where I was working in kind of close quarters with probably 7 or 8 people. I was on a temporary assignment outside of the state that I live in. Most of the people were very nice, but this one person would sometimes just try to, embarrass certain people or humiliate them. And so one day this person like stands up and tries to say some comment. I don't even remember what it was, like something about the tech I was using and, you're doing this and this is bad. And he was just saying it publicly in front of everybody. So what I did was I stood up and I said, stop saying that. Like, I don't appreciate being treated this way. Cause a lot of people in that room, so I was working 12-hour shifts, during the night, and sometimes people's emotions would come out and, I was very big about being professional in a work environment. So I tried not to let myself get that way, but sometimes somebody would raise their voice and everybody else would kind of like go like this. But when it happened to me, I just said, no, I'm not, I'm not accepting this. Don't do that. And, the person left me alone after that.
Funny how that works, isn't it? Whether you're a kid or you're an adult. I was talking to my son. He wanted to do a podcast with me last night. He's 10 and he did a great job, but he was talking about a kid in school that was getting bullied, that it was, he came home crying. He was so upset about it because he's very empathetic. And if somebody's hurting, he will literally get in the car and cry. And he's a good kid. And he was talking about that. And the school, we reached out to the school, ironically enough, and I hate to say that, but it's true, because most schools don't do anything. They really did follow through first thing in the morning on this. They had an assembly about things and it was amazing to see the follow through, but it didn't do anything. And the kid still got bullied until the bully learned that this kid happened to be like a black belt in karate, and he stood up for himself, and that was the end of it. But to your point, it's amazing how once you stand up for yourself, whether it's in a professional work environment like you did, where you say, I'm not willing to accept this treatment, don't talk to me like that, or a kid on a playground that gets into a little bit of a ruffle, right? Once you stand up for yourself, the bully cowers down and it stops. So it's so important that we stand up for ourselves and that we teach our kids that it's okay to stand up for yourself. You have the right to protect yourself. your mind, your spirit, and your body, however someone is coming at you, you do have your human right to defend yourself. And it's very important. And the message that's sent right now, whether it's at school, which is if you defend yourself, you're going to get in trouble. Or if you're at work, if you go to HR, you're going to get a target on your back and you're going to get fired. That's the reality of the world that we live in, where we're literally telling people it's not okay to stand up for yourself and to have self-respect. And that needs to change.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope your audience will get some value out of this. But
I absolutely have no doubt that the people watching this are going to get a lot of value out of what you've brought to the table. And I really appreciate you taking the time out of your day to do this and to be open and talk about these things. So thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. Have a great rest of your day.
I will. And for those watching, remember, stay kind to each other, be empathetic, be compassionate. And I promise you, it's going to make the world a much better place.